This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Sports with Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Tomorrow, Dave Lee and I will throw it around 740 and 840, give our whole Dutch team of the week and much more. Joining me right now, random last night at the Loons game, Tony Sana, the obviously former professional player, the best we've had come out of this state, played overseas before we had anything here really that resembled what they've got now, the MLS. And he is an ambassador to the game for sure, and he's got his camps for all sports. It's fun to talk to him about all the above. Tony, good to see you there last night.
Hey, great seeing you at the game.
Forget the result for a second. You couldn't have had a better Minnesota fall-like night. Just a touch of chill, but just perfect to watch a game.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of that Friday night lights thing. It's so awesome to watch it at night, and they did such a good job with the stadium and to be there under the lights and bring people together. And you know, I think it's a lost opportunity, but at the same time, I think people appreciate what we have.
Take us through this season from your eyes. What did you see? Yeah, I feel like we're all learning how the MLS works. You know, like I said, there's a long layoff after the regular season, the playoffs, because guys are playing international. We don't see that in any other league where guys just go somewhere else to play. So we're getting used to all these rules, putting a player on loan, all those things. But take me back specifically to the Minnesota Loons, Minnesota United Loons this year. What did you see in terms of progress?
Well, I think, you know, first thing they did is they got a great stadium, right? They got a good home field advantage. They got a team. They got people excited. And that's a great start. Then they started to rebuild their team. And I think they took the approach that, you know, they weren't going to win in the first 2 years in that stadium. So let's save money. Let's figure out what we want to do. Let's, you know, research what's out there in the league. And then once, you know, we move into our new stadium, like, we'll make some investments. And, you know, they made a couple key buys, I would say, that really turned out. You know, their goalkeeper was a finalist for the goalkeeper of the year. And to me, he's not the best goalkeeper in the world as far as shot stopper. He's very good, but he's an incredible commander of the field. He communicates with his players. You know, he orchestrates it, much like a point guard. So I think that was really key in helping them gain stability. They also signed the defender of the year, Aiko Parra, who ended up really adding stability in the defense, and then Alonso in the midfield. So the big change was they went from a team that, you know, was kind of helter-skelter to a very difficult team to beat because they had stability down the middle of the field.
Who is Adrian Heath, the coach? How does he rank? What's his style, and what's he meant to this franchise?
Well, he, you know, I think he learned from his past before, and he coached an expansion team, and, you know, he played in Europe. And
coached
England,
Orlando,
But he coached Atlanta, and they were a team. But then I think he realized that the players in the second league are not going to be as good as you need, and he learned the hard way there and lost his job. So this time around, he went to try to get all new players, which really helped solidify his team, and he, you know, he made some good choices and really started to build a team. And then he's kind of a motivator. I mean, he knows the game well, but he's high spirit, high energy, and, you know, he got the guys to go out there and run through a wall for him.
Well, as I watch a game, I'm trying to figure it out. And, of course, I make everything akin to football and baseball and basketball, the sports I know more of. You know, football, obviously, there's a play called every minute, so it's different. Everybody, the communication has to be times 10, et cetera. Baseball, a little bit different, you know, but you're talking to the guy, et cetera. What do you do on game night if you're the coach of a team? Many times you'll see him sit down and whatnot. Is the game plan in place? Is there a lot of strategy evolving as the game goes on? Oh, do we lose him? Or did he just not like the question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you are. Okay, go ahead, Tony. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard the whole question. So I think it's just, you know, you watch the whole time during the game, and then you know, you're looking at where your team is strong, where your difference, you know, and it's you know, it's more like basketball than football. Where are the key matchups? you know, maybe your right-sided guys need to be on the left and vice versa.
And, you know, and you're watching that early to see how they're playing you, et cetera?
Yeah, and, you know, like if one player is really killing you, you know, maybe you decide to mark him man-to-man. You know, if one of your players is doing better, you know, you instruct to get him the ball a little bit more. Sometimes, you know, if you're behind, you might take a defender off and put another forward in. Or if you're ahead and you want to be more conservative, you do the opposite. So a lot of strategy in players, in motivation, and quite honestly, with the referee.
You're trying to figure them out what kind of game they're calling, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, you can have a presence and you can, you know, make a difference in their ear and, you know.
Sure, how you work them matters, yeah.
Exactly, how you work them does matter.
The other thing that I realized in for people that experienced it this year, well, anytime, I guess, but how big the field is. It's just so massive and so much ground to cover. My mind works probably different than most, at least I've been told that most of my life. But I'm thinking, what kind of conditioning, what kind of condition does a soccer player have to be in with the idea that you may have to sprint a longer distance than you would in most sports?
You have to be in good condition. One, you have to be able to run for 90 minutes, but it's, you know, anaerobic running. So
yeah.
When I played, I was always made sure that at any time in the game, I could run 400 yards in a sprint.
400 is what you had to be able to run the open 400, basically, huh?
Yeah, so if I was a defender and I saw an opportunity, I had to run 100 yards up, but then I had to always get 100 yards back. If I saw another opportunity, 100 yards up, then 100 yards back, and if there was another opportunity, it wasn't worth it because I
was too tired.
At that
point. But that's kind of the mindset you use. I mean, in terms of your litmus test for what kind of condition you were in, what was almost an open 400.
Yeah, but at any time and after running constantly for 90 minutes. So during that game, you know, there's lulls and stuff, but you're constantly moving. But at any given time, you have to be ready to run 400-yard sprint.
Now, what would this offseason – put on your hat and let's say you were helping pick what they need to do in the offseason. What would you advise them to do?
Well, I think that right now they're a little bit disappointed. So, you know, they give a couple of days off, and then depending on the players – you know, you kind of want to see who you're going to keep and everything. And, you know, some of the veterans, you might let them wind down a little earlier. But you might still train for the next week or two if the weather's permitting.
You keep training after the season?
A lot of times because of the off season. So you really want to evaluate some of the younger players and what you're going to do and keep them around and kind of make their off season plan. The older guys, you might let them go a little earlier. And in our case, you know, maybe November 1st, you know, you let them go or – maybe the last week of October you let them go. And basically, you give them 6 weeks off. And then probably the first week of January, you know, they're reporting to Minnesota. They're doing their physicals, their fitness tests. You know, here they train inside, so you do that. But you do a lot of physical stuff and running and indoors here for about a week. And then you'd probably go somewhere warm for 2 to 3 weeks. And basically the month of January and February, you would spend on the road. You'd come back occasionally on weekends to see your family. And then I believe the opening week is usually first or second week of March.
That is the schedule, man. Now you also have your camps that run in the summertime primarily, but for all sports. Tell me where they're at right now. And if people want to, it's not just soccer camps.
Yeah, so we've got the point where we're doing basketball camps and football camps and baseball camps. And really what our organization is about, youth development. So, you know, one thing is put February 22nd, we're having our big gala. I know it's months away, but that's when we're going to celebrate. But, you know, sports are dying a little bit, and we just want to give access and opportunity so kids in the Twin Cities have a chance to play. So come around next summer, we'll be open again. We're doing some renovations right now at the Conway Community Center, so we're building a $10 million facility. So
Wow. When
that's done, we'll be able to do a lot more. But in the meantime, we're trying to get through this winter. We got a lot of basketball going over there right now and indoor soccer. But we'll be ready to go with our goal of doing 3 camps for 10,000 kids next summer.
That is awesome, Tony. What is the number one rival when you say, you know, sports are dying or numbers are down? What do you see? You see it up close. What are we competing against right now as we try to recruit student athletes?
Well, I think choices, right? The reality is, you know, kids nowadays have so many more choices. They have access to everything because of the computer. So video games alone are one reason why, you know, kids are not
necessarily, you know, play in sports. And I think we're competing against the cost of it. You know, it used to be that, you know, there was a full JV team because it was a social thing that you did
right.
to stay in shape and be with your friends. And now it's, if you have no chance to ever be on varsity, they won't put you on JV. So they don't even have like the intramural type sports to keep kids active from a health perspective.
Not good, buddy. You keep doing what you're doing, okay?
I'm trying.
Appreciate it, Tony, and let us know when we can help.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. Tony Sana.
Thank all the United fans for making this a great season.
Yeah, that was something out there. Thanks, Tony. When we come back, I'll give you my takeaway. From walking, what I like to do is when I get out there, I like to walk the corridor and the stand and see what the vibe is, how people are feeling, where's the excitement level, who are these people, what's the demographics look like. I was able to do that last night in the first ever playoff game for them. And I'm not a soccer guy by nature, so I'll tell you how it struck me when we come back.
Sports to the max.
8:22 and change. Mike Max, Sports to the Max. Gordy Shaw will join us in a bit. Former Gopher assistant coach. Coached everywhere in the country. Hawaii, South Dakota, Texas, Idaho. Been all over it. We'll get his perspective. High school as well. We'll get his perspective. But Minnesota high school football, the Golden Gophers, where they're at, the Big Ten schedule as they go down the stretch in the Big Ten, about the halfway point, 5 games left for everybody already. We'll talk to him about all of the above coming up a little bit later. So I went to, you know, we really are an embarrassment of riches in this town. We got it all from a sports fan's perspective. And I was thinking about that. I went yesterday, did the show here with Sid and Dave. We had just a wonderful menu of guests. Gerson Rosas started out, then Adrian Heath, and then P.J. Fleck, and then Alexander Madison from the Vikings, and then Gary Fashion, head coach at St. John's. Boy, what a job he has done since taking over there. They haven't lost a MIAC game for 2 years since Target Field when St. Thomas got them. But the last 2 years, they really took it to the Tommies. And Saturday they did it as well, and he has just been outstanding in that position. Mark Trestman was on with us, former Chicago Bears coach, now coaching the XFL from right here in St. Louis Park. Glenn Mason joined us, Adam Thielen. It was all really good. And then I went and watched the Viking game, which was fun because of how well. What do you think Kirk Cousins now, folks? Tell me more about how much you think this guy sucks. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. And then I went over to the Wild game. And in the Xcel Energy Center, beautiful, you know, in that arena. So now it's, you know, it's one of the older arenas in town, but it's got all that Minnesota tradition. And then you're sitting there and you're watching, and these people live and die this stuff. These Wild fans, they're good. And they win the game. Parisi with a goal. It was like, and go down the locker room, visit with the boys, as we say. And it's like this monkey was lifted off their back because there's been so much pressure, so much tension, so much now conjecture about what changes need to be made. And they find a way to win. And then I went from there over to the Minnesota United game. And it was just a picture-perfect night. Now, parking over there is no bargain, I'm going to tell you. You build those urban stadiums and look out. They need to figure that out a little bit more. Parking in the neighborhoods, and it wasn't that far from the shooting and all that stuff. I saw all the cop cars out there. I didn't know what it was about. But that stadium is, it's glorious, man. And you walk around, and I'm looking at the energy level and the people that are there, and they're into it, man. They come with their scarves on, their hats on. They're ready to go. And they're cheering and they're singing and they're doing all these things. And I don't know what it is about a field that is that big. But when you put the lights on it, it lights up and the green there. And it just it is so big and vast and iconic almost. And it's just gorgeous, you know. And they're playing and the suites are flowing and they've got this nice setup with the concession stands. It's a beautiful structure. Of course, all new structures are beautiful until they get old. But it's just wonderful. And I'm thinking, God, and the St. Paul Saints have their own ballpark not far away. And that's absolutely, it's a major league ballpark without a third deck. In U.S. Bank Stadium and Target Field and, you know, Target Center has been remodeled. It's just unbelievable. But they've got something going over there. And I think what it is, to an extent, this is my unofficial study, is you have the anti-main sport folks. In other words, maybe they can't afford season tickets to the Vikings or the Twins or the Timberwolves or the Wild. And they're going to adopt this team, the Minnesota United. That's part of the demographic, I believe. It's the rebel crowd, I call them. Not mainstream, but we're going to show you. Then you have the people who have children that are playing soccer, and those numbers are pretty big. But for a long time, we never soccer was never able to bring those people over. Even when they watched their kids play soccer at the tournaments and on the weekends and all those things, they were never able to give them a product that reflected the participation numbers that we have in this state. So you're getting some of them. Then you're getting the young folks, the ones in their 20s. And this is kind of chic. You know, it's a new place to be. It's a new stadium. It's new this. It's new that. So they're into this scene. They're the kinds that, you know, they're mass, you know, public transportation, all that stuff. They know how to use that well. And they know how to jump on something. Maybe they got an apartment in downtown Minneapolis or downtown St. Paul. They know how to get there without using a car. And they're there. And you put this kind of all together, this melting pot, this cocktail, this Minnesota hot dish, and it's pretty cool the energy that comes out of that. And last night they were determined to make this a home field advantage. With the LA Galaxy in town. And they did, to an extent. They just ran out of gas in the 71st minute. You know, the Galaxy scores. And you felt at that point, like, whoever scores the first goal is going to win this. And they did. But there's some juice there. And they're going to have an easy time selling their product this offseason and into next year. It's different because the season is so long. But that being said, they did enough, and they gave people enough of a taste, and they've got some people. I don't want to call them household names yet, but at least when you hear them, you know who they are. You know, Ibarra and Dotson and some of these guys, you know who they are. And so they're on their way that way. And you know what? I also realized that there's room in this town. This is primarily a summer team. Now, it goes into the fall, and obviously there are playoffs in the fall, but primarily a summer team. There's room in the summer because as much as we are – enamored with the Twins, particularly this last year, they're out of town for 80-some games. And the United only play, you know, once every week, 2 weeks, whatever it is. So you can make that happen. You can make that a part of and without compromising anything else. You got the Twins and the Loons. They're the big draws in the summer. And now when they're up against the football in the fall, it would be mainly in the end of the season and playoff run. So in the playoffs, you're going to do okay, even if football's around. And how about that game, throwing that game at that St. Thomas, St. John's game on Saturday? I wasn't there, but by all accounts, just it played so well. And it was the temperature and the weather was so perfect. We have really hit it right this year. You know, even the Twins only played one game against the Yankees. But that was a perfect night for baseball that night. And the Loons had a perfect night for soccer. And the game, the St. Thomas, St. John's game, it was perfect on Saturday. And, the people that were there and the fun that they had, I had lunch with a guy today that was there. He said, God, it was just great walking around there and watching that game. I hadn't been in that stadium before. Enjoy it, folks, because we are really lucky in this town. We are really lucky in this marketplace. To be able to go a la carte and, you know, what do you want to watch? Do you want to go to the Wild game? Now the Wolves start this week. You want to go to a soccer game? You want to go to the Twins, the Vikings, the Gophers, whatever it is. We got it all. High school playoffs tomorrow. That's a wonderful way to spend a Friday night for sure and a Tuesday night this week. It's all right here. When we come back, Gordy Shaw knows that. He recruited for the University of Minnesota Golden Gopher football program for years. He is a fixture amongst high school coaches. So we'll talk high school football and Gopher football and Big Ten football because he knows all of the above like no one else I've ever met. He's next.
Sports to the max.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Good time of year to be talking football. Gordy Shaw knows it as well as anybody. Long time Gopher assistant, worked all over the country. He's coached high school. He's been involved in it. Knows all the coaches, all the people. One of the most respected to ever come through here. The way the high school, every high school coach knows Gordy Shaw, and he joins us now. Gordy, thanks for joining us.
You're too kind, Mike.
No, I'm not, man. Well, hey, did you see Bob DeBest when he was in town with Georgia Southern?
We did. Deb, my wife, and I, we went down because it was a wives' trip.
Yep.
And so Janet was there.
Yep.
And we got to see him before the game. We were supposed to see him the night before, but the president of the university forgot to tell the staff that they had a fundraiser.
How do you have a fundraiser in Minnesota for Georgia Southern?
Well, I guess it was a pretty, you know, they're stepping out, playing a Power 5 school, mm-hmm. and so a lot of boosters wanted to come on the plane.
Mm.
They helped pay for the, you know, yep. the charter plane with that. And so didn't get to see him on Friday night, but we did get to spend a good hour with him before the game and then an hour and a half or so
after the game out behind the stadium. So it was really great to see him. And all his two daughters and son are all grown up also. Hmm. So, you know, it took a
don't tell me that. Yeah.
Caught up.
Yeah. So when you let me tell you, ask you, you know, obviously the Gophers have game plan as to how they recruit. When you recruit in Minnesota, is it based on the coaching staff that you have and the people that you know, or does Minnesota always kind of recruit the same way?
Having a hard time putting that question together.
Well, let's say, so in other words, once you formulate your staff, then do you say, well, you recruit Indiana well because you got a background there, so therefore you're going to recruit Indiana? Or do you say, it doesn't do us any good to recruit Indiana because we can never give them to Minnesota? How do you figure out who you're going to recruit?
Well, there's a little bit of each there, Mike. That geographically speaking, if you have a coach on your staff that has a really, really strong familiarity with that. And I'll just take myself, for example. When I went from here to Hawaii to coach in Hawaii.
Yeah.
The high school coaches would I would contact them. They would contact me. Geographically speaking, kids, particularly linemen, like to stay closer to home. So in those 4 years that I was over there in Hawaii, I think I got two guys to come to Hawaii.
Isn't that something?
And yeah, well, but
I didn't. When you say it, it makes sense. But I never thought about that. But you're right. Big guys and linemen generally are from the area.
Yeah, they got to eat their mom's cooking.
Yeah,
they don't like to go a long way from home. Now there's a difference between a metropolitan player and a rural outstate type player also. So if you're you know, gonna take a shot on a guy coming a long way away, you probably got a better shot at him with a metropolitan player than you do with a rural guy.
Mm-hmm.
But in our case over to Hawaii, it really had to do with has your father and mother ever been in the military? Have they ever been exposed to Hawaii in that respect, so you know what it's like to live over there and be so far away from home? So there's a lot of different things that way also. But you know, you could probably look at everybody's roster in the Big Ten, and with maybe the exception of Ohio State and Michigan, you know, those interior offensive linemen are from a 4 or 5 state bordering area from the state that you're coaching in.
So you look at the Gophers schedule now, with 5 left. Obviously, Maryland has not been up to par. And then it gets tougher. What do you see? What's the keys to winning in November, and how does this schedule play out to you when you look at Penn State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Iowa?
Well, you know, the Gophers just got to take them one at a time, like PJ has told them all along. The Maryland's that kind of a scary team in that they've had really good games this year, but they've also had horrendous games.
Yeah.
So you don't know which team could show up. I think I don't know what the back end of their schedule looks like after they play the Gophers here this weekend, but they might be looking at saying, we're done, we're not going to a bowl.
Yeah.
So you gotta fight that mentality within your football team also. And then then the tougher teams come on the back end of Minnesota's schedule. So,
besides Ohio State, who do you like? In the big Penn State, is Penn State really good? Or what have you seen?
I think Penn State's an excellent football team. The Gopher fans are going to see an outstanding game here. They're going to see a very, very good football team come here, so that's a good thing. You get to play them at home, but they're very talented. They were a very good team last year also, and I believe they still have the Liberty Bell going back and forth between the Gophers and Penn State, because we were the first team I was coaching here when we played them there for the very first Big Ten game.
Yeah, Jim Wacker's coaching them.
Yes.
It was pretty. In fact, it was a pretty fair game, right? It was a pretty close game.
Oh yeah, it was. It was kind of funny because, what was Jim's nephew's name? Our quarterback.
Oh, Tim Shade.
Tim Shade. We ran a gazillion quarterback draws with him, and he ran about a 5 foot, 5'4" 40. But every time we emptied, they gave us 4-man box, and he'd pull it down and go. Joe Powell was over there on the sideline going nuts, like, "How can they do this?"
Oh.
But it was a great game. And then they came here the next year when I think they won. Didn't they share the national championship that very next
year? They either did or they were number one most of the year. I don't remember. Yeah, I think they were co-champs or something like that that year.
That's what put the Big Ten and the Pac-10 into the BCS because those two conferences were not originally in the BCS, if I got that right. They still hadn't joined the other three conferences. And that particular year, Penn State won the AP national championship, and I believe it was Nebraska won the coaches national championship, and then they sat down at the table and figured it out and got all five of the conferences together after that.
Yep, you're
absolutely season.
You've done a lot of consulting for high schools and coached at Maple Grove last year. How is Minnesota high school fortified right now? You've seen it for years now. Where is Minnesota high school football at in terms of talent level?
It's talent level. It's as good as any other school in the Midwest. I really was astounded at the level of coaching and the diversity that when I left in 2008 and then came back in 2018, because it was pretty much ground chuck prior to me leaving. But coming back and looking at all the different formations and the different offenses that are being run throughout the state now and the defensive coaches and how they have stepped their game up and playing much more coverages. And you see, three down, 4-2-5. You see a lot of variety of different types of defensive football being played in the state now. So it really forces coaches to up their game because week to week it's not the same old, same old. And it was an outstanding group of teams that played the semifinals and the finals in the Viking Stadium last year. When I watched them all, I was there for every day, all day. And I was just really, really impressed with the amount of coaching that these kids are getting now. From a schematic standpoint, from a talent standpoint, it seems like there's more skill now than there was, 15 years ago. But on the other hand, you used to be able to walk around in the state of Minnesota, there was at least 20 guys every year that were bigger kids, that lineman type kids. I didn't see quite as many of those kind of kids, but maybe it was just a down cycle because it goes in cycles.
Sure. Along those lines, you've coached offensive line for a long time. Let's say a kid's sitting out there and he's in junior high and he's going, I'm not going to get to the field as a running back or receiver. They come to terms with that. What size do they need to be to play in high school, and how much can you coach a kid to be a good offensive lineman if they're willing to work?
Oh, the size doesn't really matter.
Really?
I think as I go around and watch these Mayak games and then watch the Northern Sun games, because I go to a lot of those games also.
Yeah.
Since I've been back, and it begins with the fundamentals, and if they have the heart and the determination to play, that's the great thing about college football is if you want to continue your career, if you pick the right level, you can continue your career and be very successful at it. But you got to have that first.
Do you need to, let's say you want to play college football as an offensive lineman. Do you need to be 6'2"? Where do we start there?
If you're talking about
MIAC, say.
MIAC, any size, really.
Really?
I mean, yeah, you can. I mean, now it depends on what school you're at.
Yeah, yeah.
You can play at 5'10", 5'11", as long as you've got good strength and a good core.
Which you control to an extent, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what since I've been back these last 2 years, I really think you gotta know what you want to study. You gotta pick your school based on academically what you want to accomplish there.
Yep.
Because the reality is that you're not going to go on and play from college to the next level.
Yep.
Although there are some that have, but for the most part, you're not going to. So you've got to be at an institution, university, that has what you need academically and fits your needs there. And once you have that, then you go and play the game at a much higher level, because those Division III schools, now that's serious football. Now
you were on the sidelines for St. John's, St. Thomas. What were your impressions of that St. John's offensive line?
Well, they're very good. They played together. It's almost the same group that played last year. Same with the quarterback. And I think that, again, that's kind of, don't take this the wrong way, but a cyclical thing. When you can get a group of kids playing together for 2 or 3 years at that level of football, you're going to have a lot of wins there towards the end, because the other schools are graduating kids.
Sure.
and rebuilding. St. John's has got a lot of tradition up there, just like St. Thomas. That's what makes it such a great game. But I was at the game last year. That was a shootout. Because, all the years I coached here, bucket list was go to a Tommy Johnny's game.
Yeah.
In St. John's. That's what everybody talked about, but I could never go because we always had a game. But I went last year, took my wife, and it was very enjoyable, and it was a great setting. This year, that same team that won last year took the field and was much better than the St. Thomas team that took the field. But there was quite a few guys that weren't playing this year that played last year for St. Thomas.
Sure. So, last question for you, Gordy. North Dakota State, you've had a chance to watch them up close and from afar. What makes that program go? Why have they been able to do it for so long? How have they built that?
Well, I think they've really established a model up there with Craig Bull, who's a defensive minded guy, and then when Craig left to go to Wyoming, then Chris Kleiman took over, who was a defensive coordinator, and they still hang their head on defense, and then. Now Chris is down at K-State, but Matt Entz is up there, and they know that's where it all begins for them is putting in a very 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 good defensive football team out on the field year in and year out, and then they play. They've opened it up a little bit this year. I've got to see them play once this year. I didn't see them against Butler, but I got to see them against UC Davis, who was ranked fourth in the nation at that time. So it was a very, very good football team that they were playing. And it hadn't changed much. They're going to play really, really good defense. And their offense has opened it up a little bit more. They throw the ball a little bit more. But they've got an outstanding quarterback up there. Boy, this kid from Marshall.
Oh, it's Lance, Trey Lance, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
He is going to really be something. He's a redshirt freshman, but he He's a tremendous athlete now. He's something else.
Huh. Hey, Gordy, we're up against the clock. I appreciate it. We got to do it again. You're well-versed in all of the above. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Well, tell the fans that are listening to you tonight that put some warm gear on and get out and see those first round of the playoffs tomorrow night. And then Friday night, the 6A starts, and then Saturday, the second round goes into effect. So there's a lot of football this week.
A lot of football to be watched. Good stuff, too. Absolutely. Gordy, thank you very much. Stay warm out there, and we'll talk soon.
You bet. Thanks, Mike. Take care.
You bet. Gordy Shaw, one of my all-time favorites on my list of coaches that I get to deal with, and I've dealt with a lot of them over the years. And some of you have enough in common that you enjoy being around him. Everybody enjoys being around Gordy Shaw. Take a break. Come back. Henry Lake on what's coming up next. Stay with us.
Sports to the max.
Welcome back. Henry Lake coming up next right here on WCCO. Yeah, that's a pretty good weekend. Obviously, it always depends on who you're rooting for. But to have the Gophers win like that, the Johnny-Tommy game was outstanding. The Loons got beat, but it was a wonderful atmosphere. The Wild even found a way to win. Count your blessings, I was saying earlier, to be in Minnesota in this marketplace. And you and I, of course, get paid to talk sports. It's about as fertile a ground as we've ever had here.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You like that?
Like what?
Do you like that?
Yeah, it's great.
No, I'm just rolling with the Kirk Cousins line. Do you like that? You talked about some of the winning.
Oh, yeah. I go out there all the time. So I talk to these guys all the time. So I know what these guys. Yeah.
You
Kirk
like
Cousins
that.
Is a player.
Yeah, yeah. The Gophers winning. The Vikings winning. That was fun. I didn't watch. I watched like the first 20 minutes of the soccer. And then after that, I just dozed off because I was tired last night.
Yeah.
And the TV was essentially watching me. So I didn't get much of the coverage of watching the game, and you could tell from me sitting on the couch or laying in the bed and watching it looked like the atmosphere was awesome. I mean, I was
out there for a bit. I think soccer and hockey are a little bit the same that way. I don't think they can do it justice.
They can't.
If you can't be there,
I agree with you. So I was gonna. I mean, so was it all that in the bag of chips?
Yeah, I gotta tell you, when I watch soccer on TV, it looks like this great big field, right? You're not really getting caught up in the ambiance, and I was surprised last night by the energy level out there.
Yeah, and soccer just seems to be, when you look at some of the really, really nice stadiums, they're real intimate settings where you're right on top of the players and right on top of the field. But it was a good weekend for Minnesota sports fans, and you're right. The Minnesota Wild, and we talked about that on Friday, just, from the Jason Zucker comments and then all these other, national media outlets were talking about everything that was going on and TSN and those comments, and they rallied and they got a victory. But that's one game. You got to be consistent.
Oh, for sure.
I think
for the minute – and I talked to Zucker yesterday about it after the game, and he just wants to put it in the rearview mirror and go, okay, I learned. We all learned. I'm not saying he regrets it, but, he probably – just thinks, maybe next time we'll do it differently and we move on. And obviously, he was number one star yesterday with a goal and assist. So he answered the call.
And that's what
well
you do, right? That's what you do when you're on a hot seat.
Yep. But I think for at least for a minute, they go, okay, at least we don't have to think about it for a day or two. What's coming up?
Yeah, we'll talk plenty of Vikings early. Then we'll also talk about that Golden Gopher football accomplishment in terms of winning on the road at Rutgers in a major way. And also, we'll preview and talk about the World Series starting tomorrow.
Was that a game on Saturday night? Whoa.
Yep.
Henry Lake coming up next to talk about all of the above in a market that loves to talk about all of the above. The Twin Cities market right here on 830-WCCO.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.